Chapter 19. By this time their families had become acquainted. They will never get on, they had agreed. They belong to different sections of society. But perhaps out of perversity, the families did get on, and Clive and Morris found amusement in seeing them together. Both were misogynists, Clive especially. In the grip of their temperaments, they had not developed the imagination to do duty instead, and during their love, women had become as remote as horses or cats. All that the creatures did seemed silly. When Kitty asked to hold Pippa's baby, when Mrs. Durham and Mrs. Hall visited the Royal Academy in unison, they saw a misfit in nature rather than in society, and gave wild explanations. There was nothing strange, really. They themselves were sufficient cause. Their passion for each other was the strongest force in either family, and drew everything after it as a hidden current draws a boat. Mrs. Hall and Mrs. Durham came together because their sons were friends. "And now," said Mrs. Hall, "we are friends too." Morris was present the day their friendship began. The matrons met in Pippa's London house. Pippa had married a Mr. London, a coincidence that made a great impression on Kitty, who hoped she would not think of it and laugh during tea. Ada, as too silly for a first visit, had been left at home by Morris's advice. Nothing happened. Then Pippa and her mother motored out to return the civility. He was in town, but again, nothing seemed to have happened, except that Pippa had praised Kitty's brains to Ada and Ada's beauty to Kitty, thus offending both girls, and Mrs. Hall had warned Mrs. Durham against installing hot air at Penge. Then they met again, and as far as he could see, it was always like this. Nothing, nothing, and still nothing. Mrs. Durham had, of course, her motives. She was looking out wives for Clive, and put down the Hall girls on her list. She had a theory one ought to cross breeds a bit, and Ada, though suburban, was healthy. No doubt the girl was a fool, but Mrs. Durham did not propose to retire to the Dower House in practice, whatever she might do in theory, and believed she could best manage Clive through his wife. Kitty had fewer qualifications. She was less foolish, less beautiful, and less rich. Ada would inherit the whole of her grandfather's fortune, which was considerable, and had always inherited his good humour. Mrs. Durham met old Mr. Grace once, and rather liked him. Had she supposed the Halls were also planning, she would have drawn back. Like Morris, they held her by their indifference. Mrs. Hall was too idle to scheme, the girls too innocent. Mrs. Durham regarded Ada as a favourable line, and invited her to Penge. Only Pippa, into whose mind a breath of modernity had blown, began to think her brother's coldness odd.
"Clive, are you going to marry?"
she asked suddenly. But his reply, "No, do tell mother," dispelled her suspicions. It is the sort of reply a man who is going to marry would make. No one worried Morris. He had established his power at home, and his mother began to speak of him in the tones he had reserved for her husband. He was not only the son of the house, but more of a personage than had been expected. He kept the servants in order, understood the car, subscribed to this and not to that, tabooed certain of the girls' acquaintances. By 23 he was a promising suburban tyrant, whose rule was the stronger because it was fairly just and mild. Kitty protested, but she had no backing and no experience. In the end she had to say she was sorry and to receive a kiss. She was no match for this good-humoured and slightly hostile young man, and she failed to establish the advantage that his escapade at Cambridge had given her. Morris's habits became regular. He ate a large breakfast and caught the 8:36 to town. In the train he read the Daily Telegraph. He worked till 1 o'clock, lunched lightly, and worked again through the afternoon. Returning home, he had some exercise and a large dinner, and in the evening he read the evening paper, or laid down the law, or played billiards or bridge. But every Wednesday he slept at Clive's little flat in town. Weekends were also inviolable. They said at home, "You must never interfere with Morris's Wednesdays or with his weekends. He would be most annoyed."